Scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We read the first 23 verses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the reason that Jesus Christ instituted the supper was that he would have us nourished by that supper. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, Jesus didn't want us merely to observe the minister eating and drinking, eating the bread and drinking the wine. He didn't want us merely to observe someone else or others, but he wanted us personally to partake of the elements of the supper. He wanted us to partake individually. The gospel of the supper is not this. Now, certainly as you see others partake of the elements, so certainly are you a partaker of Christ. But the gospel of the supper is this. As certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me, so certainly was Christ's body offered for me and his blood shed for me. Jesus instituted the supper so that all those who are able to examine themselves partake in an individual way. In the institution of the supper, Jesus spoke directly to his disciples after he had broken the bread. What did Jesus say? He commanded them. He says, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." He commanded each of his disciples to eat and wanted them to make the connection between their personal partaking of the elements of the supper and Christ's death for them personally. And so, beloved, it is with us. The elements of the supper teach us and assure us that Christ's crucified body and his shed blood are true meat and drink for us personally, for our souls. The passage that we read in 1 Corinthians 10 follows on from a discussion in chapter 8 already, where the apostle exhorted the Corinthian Christians to abstain from unclean feasts, from pagan idolatrous feasts that the Gentiles partook of. And then after heading off some objections, before we get to the verse that we read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, he then goes on to make a comparison. Talks about some objections, then makes a comparison. And in his argument, he proves that when the Corinthian saints partook of the idolatrous feasts, they were in communion with the idols themselves. And now, to prove that communion with idols, he uses the illustration of the Lord's Supper and our communion with Christ himself in the supper. The argument amounts to something like this. If, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we have communion with Christ, we participate with Christ, then it's also true that when we partake of the feast of idols, we have communion with them. Well, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 asserts that the first part is true. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do have communion with Christ. And therefore, it must also be true that partaking of the Feast of Idols brings us into communion with them. That's the context of that verse. The Lord's Supper, then, spiritually nourishes us by faith. When we embrace the gospel of our Savior, we are nourished as we look to Christ for all of our salvation. So we want to consider the truth concerning the Lord's Supper under that theme, the nourishment of the Lord's Supper. Let's note in the first place that nourishing involves remembering. Secondly, that then we are partaking of Christ. And lastly, that nourishment is also a hoping for complete salvation in Jesus Christ. The nourishment of the Lord's Supper. Beloved, if you and I are going to be nourished by the Lord's Supper, we need to do some remembering. Jesus himself, when he instituted the supper, commanded his disciples, "This do in remembrance of me." That's basic. If we don't remember Jesus in the supper, we won't be fed. But remembering Jesus in the supper is more than just a bare remembering some facts about Jesus. It's more than just remembering that Jesus lived on the earth, that he died a cruel death. It's more than just remembering that he rose again. But when we remember Jesus, we are calling to mind the gospel. The gospel of Jesus' death for sinners. The gospel of Jesus' love for us when we didn't love him. And so, beloved, when we talk about remembering Jesus, that implies remembering our own need for Jesus. There's no point in remembering Jesus unless we first remember that we ourselves are sinners who deserve God's curse. If you and I don't know ourselves as sinners, then there can't be any spiritual nourishment in the Lord's Supper. There's no nourishment in remembering Christ unless we know our need of Christ. And that's evident from the example of the Pharisees and Sadducees. No doubt, after Jesus had died, they remembered that he had been put to death, but that didn't do them any good. We need to remember that we are sinners deserving God's cursing wrath. God's infinite wrath burns against sin. How do we know that God's wrath is so great against sin? Well, we know that because of how he treated his only begotten Son. When God sent his Son into the world and imputed our sins to him, God punished him because God must satisfy his justice. What we have to know, beloved, is that those torments are the ones that you and I deserved apart from Christ. We deserve to be cast into the torments of hell. We deserve to be in that fire that is never extinguished. We deserve to have our consciences gnawing at us forever and ever and ever in hell. And so if the supper of Jesus Christ is going to be a feast for us, we need to see the famine and remember the famine that we deserve apart from him. We cannot properly remember Christ unless we first remember our sins and our sinfulness. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. But then in the second place, remembering Christ is then remembering his death in our place. That was Jesus' explicit teaching when he first instituted the Lord's Supper. "This is my body, which is given for you." And he was showing to them the sign of the bread, pointing to his death for them and for all his people. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And so remembering Christ in the supper is remembering that his body was given for us personally, and his blood was shed for us personally. Now, modern churches don't teach that. Modern churches reject that theology of the atonement. They call that kind of theology butcher shop theology, as if the doctrine of Christ's atonement was unworthy of the name of Christianity. In the butcher shop, animals are cut to pieces and their blood spread everywhere. In butcher shop theology, what they are implying is that theology believes God butchered his own son. Now we might think, beloved, that theology is so far out there that would never affect us. But in fact, that very theology is working its way into Reformed and Presbyterian churches. Well-known men are brought in to give speeches at so-called Christian colleges that teach that very thing, that reject the doctrine of the atonement. They hate that doctrine because all they want is a God of love. They don't want a God of justice who must punish sin. They just want a God who loves everyone and who will save everyone. The truth is, the doctrine of Christ's atonement is a messy doctrine, because it shows forth God's infinite wrath against sin, and that's not pretty. That's the wrath that you and I deserved. That's not pretty as regards ourselves. But what is beautiful for us, beloved, is the love of God that put Christ on the cross in our place. What is beautiful is the mercy of God that put Christ there to suffer his infinite justice in our place. And so remembering Christ in the supper is remembering his love that sent him to the cross to pay for our sins. Remembering Christ means remembering that our sins are covered over by his precious blood. Remembering Christ means remembering our sins and sinfulness. It means remembering Christ paid for those sins. But then in the third place, remembering Christ in the supper means remembering his life of obedience that made him a perfect sacrifice. Because if Christ had not been obedient, even unto death, then he would have fallen short of the perfect love that was required of him. You see, Jesus didn't merely have to die. It wouldn't have been enough if the Pharisees and Sadducees had dragged Jesus to the cross and put him on the cross against his will, because then Jesus would not have been submitting himself to the will of his Father with perfect love. But Jesus did submit himself with perfect love. When he was in the garden, he gave himself over to the will of his Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. He showed perfect unadulterated love for his Father. Without that perfect loving submission, he could not have earned eternal life for us by his sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the Lamb without blemish. And just as God imputed our sins to him and punished him for our sins, so God also imputes his righteousness to us. That perfect righteousness God puts to our account so that God looks upon us just as if we had kept all his law perfectly. When we remember Christ in the supper, we are remembering his perfect obedience that made his sacrifice acceptable to God. But then lastly, remembering Christ in the supper means remembering that he died for a reason, not only to pay for our sins, but also to make us holy. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that now we can walk in unrepentant sin without fear of hell. Why did Jesus die on the cross for us? Titus 2 verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Jesus died so that we would be delivered from sin's guilt and bondage, but he also died so that we would be zealous of good works. And so remembering Christ in the supper, beloved, is remembering the life of thankfulness to which he calls us. Thankfulness does not go about trying to earn God's favor as if Christ didn't do enough to merit all the blessings of salvation. Now we have to do some more to merit. That's not thankfulness. Thankfulness wants to glorify God and praise him for his glorious work of redemption in Jesus Christ. In short, remembering Jesus Christ in the supper, if we are going to be nourished, we need to remember Christ and his death and all that is implied. That gives us practical direction when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Remembering is necessary if we are going to be nourished. When we partake of the supper, remembering and believing, then, beloved, we are partaking of Christ himself. Then we are being nourished by his body and blood. That's implied by the very elements that Jesus used when he instituted the supper. He gave the elements of bread and wine. He chose those elements specifically because he wanted them to serve as visible signs to point us to the truth that we are nourished by his body and blood. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That communion of the blood and body of Christ literally is a sharing in or a partaking of that blood and that body. Jesus says this element, this bread and this wine, is a communion. When you partake of the physical elements, there is also a partaking of Christ Himself. His body and His blood. Jesus gave two elements. He didn't just give the bread, and that alone being the element of the Lord's Supper. He didn't just give wine, and that being the only element. He gave both elements together to teach us that all of our spiritual nourishment and growth comes from Him. On the one hand, the bread symbolizes that daily provision to sustain us and to strengthen us. But then the wine symbolizes abundance and joy and refreshment. He doesn't just save us, He saves us abundantly. Beloved, as we think about the supper, is it true that we want to grow spiritually? Do you want to grow spiritually? The truth is, we cannot grow unless Christ Himself feeds us. He is the one, after all, who gives us the beginning of spiritual life. He gives us grace that takes us out of darkness, brings us into His marvelous light. He gives us His Spirit so that we are regenerated. Well, then it makes sense that we should also look to Him if we want to grow. Baptism points to that initial engrafting into Christ. We are only baptized once. But the Lord's Supper points to spiritual growth. We partake over and over again of those nourishing elements. Not just of the physical elements, of the spiritual elements. His body and His blood. And that growth, beloved, is pointed at in question and answer 76 when it talks about becoming more and more united to His sacred body by the Holy Ghost who dwells both in Christ and in us. Eating the supper over and over points to a certain progress in our spiritual life. That's the idea of the catechism when it says more and more. And just like you children, you can expect to grow when you eat a good, healthy diet. So too, we can expect to grow as we partake of Christ in the preaching of the gospel and in the partaking of the sacraments of the Lord's Supper. Not only, beloved, does the supper point to spiritual growth as we partake of Christ, it also points to the fact that we are weak creatures. In ourselves, we can do nothing. We need to be renewed and refreshed spiritually. Time and time again. Now, baptism is given to us only once. We're only regenerated once. You don't have to be born again and again and again. But when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we do so often. We do so because we grow weak. We grow tired in our pilgrimage. The Lord's Supper, beloved, teaches us we need to be nourished by the body and blood of Christ over and over again. It's not enough simply to say, well, I was nourished by the body and blood years ago. I don't need to be nourished again. No, we partake over and over again to show our constant need of that spiritual nourishment. We need that nourishment for strengthening and sustaining us in our spiritual lives. That can be found in Christ alone. If you and I are going to be nourished and grow spiritually, we need to partake of Christ. Not just sit there and stare at the food on our plates, as it were, but to partake spiritually, to exert ourselves to eat and drink spiritually. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we need to partake of it actively, remembering all the beautiful truths of the gospel in Jesus Christ and believing in the work of Jesus Christ, believing in His work for us and believing that He works in us. The elements of the Lord's Supper are meant to strengthen us spiritually. And so we call the sacraments, including the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, a means of grace. A means by which God gives us grace. But now that does not mean that everyone who eats the bread and drinks the cup receives grace. Eating the bread and drinking the wine don't do anything in and of themselves. That's just like the preaching. We might manage to park our bodies in a church pew every Sunday, but that doesn't guarantee that we are going to be blessed by the preaching as a means of grace. If we sleep the entire time, that's not going to benefit us. It's not an automatic giving of grace. In fact, if we reject the truth, that which is called a means of grace is actually a means of hardening our hearts. And so too in the sacrament. It is a means of grace, but it's not given automatically to everyone. It's only a means of grace when we partake by faith. With our mouths, we partake of the physical elements of the bread and the wine. But if we are going to partake of the body and blood of Christ, who Himself is in heaven, we need to partake by faith. We only have access to Him by faith. We can't go up to heaven itself, and His physical body does not come down to the earth right now. We partake of Him by faith. We are united to Christ by the bond of faith, and so also by the instrument of faith. We eat and drink when we remember and believe in Jesus Christ. Faith is that first engrafting into Christ the vine, but it also makes sense then that faith is also the instrument by which we receive that spiritual nourishment from the vine. And that we partake by faith is implied by what the apostle calls the elements of the supper. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That cup of blessing is not just an ordinary cup of wine. It's a cup over which believers praise and bless God for His merciful redemption in Jesus Christ. It's a cup that we look upon by faith. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're warned not simply to look at the elements, but to lift our hearts beyond the elements to Christ in heaven. It's a cup which we bless. That means by prayer and praise we set that cup apart for the purposes of remembering Jesus Christ. That cup is a communion, that is, a participation in, a partaking of the blood of Christ. The bread is a communion of the body of Christ. We partake actually of the body of Christ, but spiritually. By faith, we look past the elements to Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can enjoy and be nourished by the communion of the body and blood of Christ, by faith. And when we partake by faith, we partake of Christ Himself and are fed by Christ Himself. The Lord's Supper, beloved, nourishes us as we remember the past, all of Christ's work for us in the past, that nourishes us when we partake of Christ in the present. But lastly, the Lord's Supper nourishes us as we look to the future. It's significant that when Jesus instituted the supper, He did so also with a view to the future. And then 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 says this, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." Till He comes again. Christ has redeemed us from the bondage of sin through His precious blood. His precious sacrifice as the Passover lamb. By that sacrifice He has redeemed us from bondage. We have been brought out of that tyranny. We are no longer under the tyranny of the devil. The picture in the Old Testament was the tyranny of Pharaoh in Egypt. We have been brought out of that bondage. And now we are in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, just as Jesus Christ redeems us out of bondage, He also feeds us and gives us drink. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 10, that the Israelites did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The Israelites ate of that bread from heaven as they were in the wilderness. God fed them as we are in the wilderness. Christ feeds us. He is the bread from heaven. He feeds us unto eternal life. But all that, beloved, is looking forward to the promised land. The Lord's Supper is not only remembering, it's also looking forward to that glorious communion, the wedding feast of the bridegroom with his bride, the church. We look forward in the Lord's Supper to the glory of heaven. Jesus wants us to remember Him day by day in hope. He nourishes day by day, causes us to hope in Him for eternal life, guards us, guides us, He protects us along the way, He holds us in His hand, and He will never let us go. Just as baptism taught us that all of our salvation is in Jesus Christ, so too does the supper. We need Jesus Christ to give us life. We need Him to strengthen and sustain us. We need Him to hold us. When we are tempted to follow after the idols of this world, we need to remember that they will not satisfy. The apostle in this context warned the Corinthians, abstain from idols. When you partake of the feasts of idols, you partake of them. Abstain from those things, because they are vain. They will not give you a satisfaction. They will not give you satisfaction of your hunger and thirst. They're like sand in the desert. In our sinful foolishness, we see a mirage. We go up to what we think is a pool of water. We cup our hands together. We find that it's only sand. That's the idols that we chase after in this world. Only Christ will supply the refreshment and the nourishment we need along the way. And so the supper, beloved, reminds us, look to Him, calls us to look to Him alone for grace. Look to Him alone for all of our salvation. And then we will be nourished unto eternal life. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, Thou knowest that we are weak and that we cannot sustain ourselves or feed ourselves. So we pray that Thou feed us. Give to us, we pray, the nourishment that we need day by day, that we may leave the idols of this world and cling to Christ, in whom alone is all of our salvation. Forgive us, we pray, for our sins and our sinfulness. Give to us, we ask, O Lord, all that we need for our bodies and our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.